Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. This week on Strange Tales, we'll hear from the Screen Directors Playhouse, a series that aired from January of 1949 to August of 1951, produced 115 episodes for NBC stations. Our story today features Joseph Cotton, its Portrait of Jenny, their episode from March 10th, 1950.
Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, proudly presents
Screen Directors Playhouse, star Joseph Cotton, production Portrait of Jenny, director William Dieterle.
Hollywood Screen Directors present a story, a fantasy on the edge of time. The motion picture drama, Portrait of Jenny, starring Joseph Cotton in his original role of Eben Adams.
To you who believe in your own immortality, I give this story, The Portrait of Jenny. It was colder than usual for me that winter in New York in 1934. I was a struggling and starving artist. No one would buy my paintings. No one, in fact, would even bother with me, except a distinguished and spinster art dealer on Fifth Avenue near Central Park, Miss Spinney. And Miss Spinney it was who told me the first great truth about my painting.
Do you want me to tell you what's wrong with your work, Adam?
Please do.
There isn't a drop of love in any of your paintings.
Love?
You'll have to shed that bitterness. Learn to care for something very deeply before you'll be much of an artist.
That's going to take some doing, life being what it is.
Meanwhile, I'll give you $12 for that flower painting.
You will?
Not a penny more.
Sold, sold. I practically floated out into Central Park in the wintry twilight. I was a success, $12. I was a little lightheaded from exhilaration and from not having had enough to eat. Perhaps that made it happen. The first day there in Central Park. On a gloomy walk, I suddenly had an awareness of something extraordinary. The sounds from Fifth Avenue seemed muted and far away, like sounds from another time. I felt faint. I groped for a bench and sat down. My hand touched a silk scarf lying there. I heard a voice. A pretty little child was coming toward me, a girl with great dark eyes and a delicate oval face and dark hair down her back, and dressed quaintly in a style that people used to call Buster Brown, I think.
Hello.
Hello.
May I have my scarf? Oh, thank you.
Isn't anybody here with you?
No, why should there be?
It's getting pretty dark. Where are your parents?
Oh, they're not home yet. Anyway, you're with me now. I'm Jenny. Jenny Appleton. What's your name?
Eben Adams. Your parents aren't home?
Well, Father and Mother are a tightrope act. The Appletons.
Oh, really?
They're working down at Hammerstein's Victoria.
Hammerstein's Victoria? Well, Hammerstein's Victoria was torn down years ago when I was a boy.
Oh, you must be thinking of some other place, because I was there yesterday. May I look at your pictures?
Well, how did you know this portfolio contained pictures?
Well, Father and Mother were painted once, and the artist had a big portfolio just like yours.
I see.
It's a rather famous painting. Appletons in Air, it's called.
Well, how do you like my work? This one, say.
Oh. Those are awful little windows for such a big church.
Well, they have to be little. There's so much wind at Cape Cod.
I don't like it. It scares me. The black water.
Why does it?
There should be a lighthouse out there in the ocean.
Well, yes, there should, but how did you know that?
I just know. I wish I liked your pictures, but I don't.
Well, that's what everybody says.
Why don't you paint people? Cecily Brown's home is full of pictures of people.
Who's Cecily Brown?
Oh, she's my best friend. Her father knows the Kaiser, the King of Germany.
Oh, he was the King of Germany years and years ago.
I know a song. Would you like to hear it?
Very much.
Where I come from, nobody knows. And where I am going, everything goes. The wind blows, the sea flows. Nobody knows. And where I am going, nobody knows.
What a strange song. Who taught you that?
Nobody. It's just a song. Do you know what I wish most?
What?
I wish that you would wait for me to grow up so that we could always be together.
Well, that's very flattering, Jenny.
Well, I can't talk to you anymore now. I've got to call for Mother and Father. Goodbye, Mr. Adams.
Goodbye, Jenny.
Goodbye.
She was gone in the gathering darkness, taking the loveliness and innocence and wistfulness of memories of things once loved along with her. And I felt lonelier then than ever in my life.
You say, this is a sketch of a little girl you met in the park, Adams.
2 days ago. You like it?
I'll give you $25 for it.
$25 just for a sketch?
You've got something here, Adams. Who is this little girl? What do you know about her?
Very little. She's an imaginative thing. Fancies herself the daughter of a high wire act, the Appletons.
Oh. You know, there was a very interesting painting by Lo Presti of the Appletons.
Oh, was there?
Yes. He specialized in circus stuff. He grew temporarily famous with his Appletons in Air. Hmm. I think he even went to their funeral when they were killed a few years later.
Killed? The Appletons were killed?
A high wire broke with them or something.
Oh, too bad.
Adams, why don't you do portraits? I think you could be very good at it. Very good indeed.
With $25 in my pocket and a strange bewilderment in my brain, I took the afternoon off and went skating in Central Park. A cold, feeble sun slanted weirdly on the ice. The sounds of traffic grew remote and muffled.
Hello, Mr. Adams.
Hello.
I'm Jenny. Don't you remember?
Jenny?
Isn't it fun? The ice is wonderful.
Jenny, I can't believe it's you. You've grown so.
I'm hurrying to catch up with you.
But only a few days ago, you were just a little girl.
Let's skate arm in arm, shall we?
All right. You know what?
What?
I did a sketch of you and sold it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
People at the gallery said I ought to paint portraits.
Who would you paint?
Well, I haven't decided.
Maybe. Would you paint me?
Who else?
Oh, I'm going to have my picture painted. I'm going to have my picture painted. Oh, won't Dolores be mad, though?
Dolores?
She's had her picture painted. Dolores is my best friend.
I thought you said Cecily was your best friend.
Cecily?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Cecily Brown. She moved to Boston 3 years ago.
3 years ago? But just the other evening... We'd better skate. We skated silently, arm in arm, then silently smiling at each other. We parted once more. Many times in the next weeks, I looked for Jenny. Almost every evening, I walked in the park, hoping to hear her voice calling to me. And then again, one evening in the park, I was approaching her bench. I felt the hush upon the world again. I felt all alone in a motionless, soundless world. Soundless except for the weeping. I heard the heartbroken sobbing, and I looked toward the bench, and I saw Jenny. Jenny, what's the matter? What's happened? Tell me.
There's
been an accident.
The wire broke.
When did it happen?
Tonight.
Tonight?
But I always knew it would happen. Now they're gone.
Jenny, isn't it true they wouldn't want you to be unhappy, even grieving for them? Jenny?
It's true. I suppose I'm just crying for myself because they're gone and I'll be lonely.
You won't be lonely, Jenny.
No, I won't, will I? Because I'm hurrying, Evan. I'm hurrying very fast now.
Yes, you are. You're a young lady already.
My aunt's sending me to a convent. And when I graduate, I'll be grown up. You'll wait for me, Evan, won't you?
Yes, Jenny, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you.
Screen Director's Playhouse production of Portrait of Jenny, starring Joseph Cotton, and presented by RCA Victor. What the English language needs these days is some new words for new objects. Well, RCA Victor has provided one, at least. Tele-ensemble. That's the word for a unique 12.5-inch television set, which is one of 14 superb new 1950 Eyewitness models. The tele-ensemble is Deluxe 12.5-inch RCA Victor television in a handsome maroon metal cabinet. As the name implies, the tele-ensemble is complete furniture. The cabinet rests on legs of matching wood. The tele-ensemble has a built-in antenna. Big, bright, clear, and steady pictures. And the RCA Victor tele-ensemble is a marvelous dollar value. Its suggested list price, slightly higher in some locations, is only $229.95, plus a small federal tax. Here's wishing for your family the endless delight of RCA Victor television. America's first. America's finest. America's favorite. Now, back to the Screen Director's Playhouse fantasy, Portrait of Jenny, starring Joseph Cotton in his original role of Eben Adams, with Barbara Eiler as Jenny.
Where I come from, nobody knows, and where I'm going, everything goes. In the weeks and months that followed, I was haunted by that song and by memories so poignant that nothing was real for me except Jenny. The days lengthened, spring broke through. Then one evening I came home from searching and hoping vainly for Jenny in the park. My studio door was ajar. I pushed it open. Sitting on the floor in a frost of crisp white dress was Jenny.
Evan.
It can't be you, Jenny, but it is.
I tried to get here sooner, but I couldn't.
No, you're beautiful. You're a young lady.
I know. I'm hurrying. I'm in my first year of college at the convent.
What convent, Jenny?
Mother of Mercy on the Hudson.
Mother of Mercy?
Oh, Evan, I've thought of you so much.
I've thought of nothing except you.
Look there, I've even prepared a canvas for you, making it ready for the portrait of Jenny.
Oh, Eben, you're really going to do it.
Yes, really.
Eben.
Yes, Jenny.
I'm so glad you're waiting for me. It's been so very lonely.
Jenny came off a noun. I painted. I painted, carried along on a wave of exultation and inspiration. I worked intently to finish the portrait. The magical face framed in dark, dark hair. Brown eyes tenderly dreaming. I was caught in an enchantment beyond time and change. And through it all, I knew that love itself was endless. And that today's small happiness, desperately sought for, was only part of it. And the portrait was almost finished. Jenny, by that miracle I had been witnessing since I first saw her, was a woman. I had not seen her for a week, and when she came to my studio again, it was Jenny, the woman. Beautiful, loving, strangely unhappy.
Eben, I won't be seeing you again for a while.
Well, why, Jenny?
Well, it's nothing, really. My aunt's ill, and she wants me to take her away for the summer.
I'll be lost without you.
No, don't say that, Eben. We can't both of us be lost.
When do you have to go?
Tomorrow.
No, tomorrow.
It'll only be for a few months, and not so far.
Oh, Jenny, I know now that there are distances, cruel distances, that can't be fathomed or spanned. The distances in time, the distance between you and me, between yesterday and today, and it frightens me. Oh, Jenny, I mustn't lose you.
Eben, darling, always remember this. Among all the people who have lived from world's end to world's end, there's just one you must love, one you must seek until you find, as I found him. You, Eben, you, my darling.
Jenny, the wind blows, the sea flows, and God knows.
Neither the world nor time itself can tear us apart, Eben. Whatever happens, remember that.
I'll remember.
Eben, you must finish my portrait now.
Evening. And the portrait of Jenny was done.
I think, Eben, it will make you famous.
Someone once told me my work lacked love. This does not. Oh, Jenny, what is it that makes a man and a woman know that of all the other men and women in the world, they belong to each other?
One you must seek until you find him.
One you must wait for until she finds you, even across time.
The night wind, Eben. I must go.
Oh, another few minutes. I'll close the window here.
I'll get my thing.
There. Now, Jenny, before you go, Jenny? Jenny? The studio door was ajar. Jenny was gone, yet I heard no one on the steps. Though the window was closed, a soft wind stirred in the room, charged with a gentle dying fragrance as of old remembered springtimes long ago. All spring, all summer, I waited for Jenny and heard nothing. Summer darkened into autumn. No Jenny. Where was she? What word? Then I remembered Mother of Mercy Convent and the Mother Superior there.
Jenny Appleton?
Yes, Mr. Adams, I remember her very well. A lovely girl with a strange spiritual beauty and a gentle sadness that always troubled me.
Have you any idea where I can find her?
Jenny died.
No.
Yes.
No. Jenny?
Her aunt brought her here shortly after her parents' tragic death. They were trapeze performers.
Yes, I know, but...
She stayed here until she graduated. Then her aunt took her up to New England for the summer.
Yes.
She wrote me from there often. I remember her very last letter, although it's been so long ago.
Long ago?
She had a dreadful feeling that life would never be complete for her. That she would never find someone who would love her. I must love and be loved, she wrote. She must have sensed the end.
Jenny.
That was the year the terrible tidal wave struck the New England coast. October 5th, 1974. Struck suddenly. Her little boat found in there an abandoned lighthouse.
Land's End Light.
Yes.
No wonder she feared it, even in my painting. October 5th. Today is the 1st. Land's End Light. That's where I'll find her. I arrived at Cape Cod with time to spare. I hired a boat and waited. October 4th, fog. Not a breath of wind, no sign of hurricanes. October 5th, that dawn, I shipped anchor and pulled for Land's End. Not a breath of wind, only fog. Fog. And then suddenly out of the fog, out of nowhere, the wind. And then I knew. I knew that the whole pattern of Jenny's life was to be relived to the very end. The fierce, tormented end. Somehow I weathered the savage wind, the thunderous barrage of rain, the howling surf and black rocks. Holding the tiller in both hands, I guided the boat into Land's End and covered my face as a wave lifted me high and flung the boat hard against the slippery rocks. Stunned and breathing, I struggled up the screaming rocks. Jenny!
Jenny! Jenny!
Jenny Appleton!
Jenny Appleton!
Jenny, it's Evan!
Jenny, it's Evan!
Evan!
Jenny!
Here I am, Evan! Here I come!
No, Jenny!
Oh, Evan, darling! Oh,
Jenny,
Evan.
I was afraid I was too late.
Hold me.
No, forever, darling.
Let me look at you. A long, long look.
No, Jenny, the wave will be here and you can't stay here. The lighthouse.
Evan, don't you understand? I can't escape. I died.
Jenny, look.
We'll have eternity together.
The wave. It's too late. You'll die again.
There is no death.
Here it comes.
Remember, Evan.
Here it comes.
There is no death.
Jenny.
Goodbye, Evan.
Jenny. Been over for years now. The doctors shake their heads over me today. Oh, let them. I've painted my last canvas. Land's End and the biblical wave are years behind me now. I died leaving my work to mock me. Thanks to the inspiration and the love of Jenny. Die. Oh, no. Oh, no, for to die is but to live again. Remember what Jenny said upon the rocks those years ago. There is no death. There is Jenny. Dawn, the dim winter's day, 1950. Evan Adams, one of the most brilliant and magically inspired young painters America has ever produced, passed away, leaving a host of immortal canvases as his monument. And foremost among these was the painting of unearthly, ethereal beauty, the Portrait of Jenny.
The dawn came through the bare trees in Central Park, that timeless morning that Evan Adams died. It was winter in the park, but spring where Evan Adams sat on a certain familiar bench.
Hello!
A young woman came running down the path, her dark hair flying, and Evan Adams rose and took her hand in his. Thank you.
Hello, Jenny.
You're here sooner than I thought, Evan.
Yes, Jenny. I hurried, too.
You have just heard the last act of Portrait of Jenny. Our star, Joseph Cotton, and our guest screen director, William Dieterle, will be with us in just a moment. Next Friday, on Screen Director's Playhouse, a brilliant young actor brings you the dynamic performance which made him a star. Our story is Champion, and recreating his original role will be Kirk Douglas, with screen director Mark Robson. And now, here again is tonight's star, Joseph Cotton. Well, Joe, that hurricane scene was wonderful. Almost too wonderful. You know, it left me feeling a little scared of old Mother Nature. As if I'd like to go home where everything's cozy and safe.
You surprised me, Jimmy. I was sure you were going to say you'd like to go home and curl up with some good RCA Victor 45 records.
Well, I would like to, Joe. An evening at home listening to the music you love best and which you hear at its best on an RCA Victor 45 phonograph. Can you think of anything more pleasant?
What? Well, I always enjoy an evening with my 45, and especially at this time of year when the weather is so dismal everywhere, except California, of course.
Oh, of course, yes. But this year, March really did come in like a lion, didn't it?
Well, more like a leopard.
And then, too, there's always March 15th.
And RCA Victor's 15. I mean, the 15 new albums designed for dancing.
Touché, Joe. Say, did you know that some doctors recommend music as a remedy for serious cases of income tax temper in businessmen?
Sort of soothe with a 45 instead of shoot with a 45.
Yeah. That's right, Dr. Cotton. And the RCA Victor 45 is swell for dancing, too. I mean, it's so small and light, less than a foot square, that you can easily carry it wherever you want to dance. And those 15 new RCA Victor dance albums are enough to top off any evening of entertainment.
And I like the length of time the 45 plays without attention, so you really can concentrate on other things.
It's up to 50 minutes.
I think of it, almost an hour of uninterrupted romance, of two people dancing alone, together.
Oh, it's like having an orchestra right in the room.
Well, a time like that, who wants an orchestra in the room?
You have a point there, Joe. RCA Victor's 45 phonograph is a rare aid to romance as well as to morale. And a rare aid to your bank account, too. The 45 phonograph costs as little as $29.95. The 45 record changer can be had for $12.95. And prices on the 45 record start as low as 46 cents plus tax. Friends, it's no wonder the 45 is sweeping the country. See and hear the 45 soon at your RCA Victor dealer.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it was my pleasure to act again in one of the strangest love tales ever brought to the screen. Now it's fitting that you should meet the man who brought it to the screen. The director for whom familiarity has bred nothing but respect, for we've worked together in such other pictures as Love Letters and I'll Be Seeing You. Here, then, is my director, William Dieterle.
Thank you, Joe. You referred to what was Jenny as a team. But really, it is more than that. It really happened.
Oh, dear, that you'll have to prove.
Easily. First, a New England storm. You will admit, Joe, there is such a place as New England.
Naturally, but...
Second, Jenny skated in Central Park. You will admit there is such a place as Central Park.
Well, certainly it is, but that doesn't mean...
Please, Joe, and third, the final proof. Remember Jenny's car. the one she left on the park bench.
Oh, well, you're not going to tell me this.
Yes, here it is, Jenny's scarf in my hands.
I see, that's just an ordinary scarf. Why should I believe it was Jenny's?
Joe, when another actor tells you it's Jenny's scarf, you don't have to believe it. When a director tells you, you don't have to believe it. But when a poet tells you...
I see what you mean. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the secret of believing an unbelievable movie. Good night, Dee.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, everyone. And good night to you, Joseph Cotton, William Beagle. Remember next Friday, Kirk Douglas in Champion with screen director Mark Robeson, brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Portrait of Jenny was presented through the courtesy of David O. Selznick, currently releasing Carol Reed's The Fallen Idol. Joseph Cotton's most recent production is The Third Man. William Dieterle's forthcoming picture is the Hal Wallace production for Paramount, Paid in Full, starring Robert Cummings, Elizabeth Scott, and Diana Lynn. Included in tonight's cast were Barbara Eiler as Jenny, Noreen Tuttle, Eleanor Audley, Wilms Herbert, Ramsey Hill, Vic Perrin, Norma Jean Nilsson, and Frank Barton. Portrait of Jenny from the novel by Robert Nathan was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by William Lava. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. Portions of the broadcast were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next Friday when RCA Victor presents...
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Kirk Douglas, production Champion, director Mark Robeson.
Next is Jimmy Durante and Don Amici on NBC.
That's it for Strange Tales for this week. Hope you enjoyed our show this time. You can find more from the Screen Director's Playhouse, past episodes of Strange Tales, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes at relicradio.com. You'll also find our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep these shows coming to you free every week, give that donate button a click. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. So any amount is always appreciated. Thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.